In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
On this day in history, Nicholas of Myra died. Today is December 6th, the feast day of Saint Nicholas. Wikipedia states, the historical Saint Nicholas is commemorated and revered among Lutheran Christians as well as other Christians. We should not let today go by, therefore, without mentioning him. Our table of commemorations lists him as Nicholas of Myra, pastor. Since all of the people listed in the table of commemorations in Lutheran service book are saints, mentioning that fact would be superfluous. It is as a pastor, Bishop of Myra, that Saint Nicholas lived out his Christian vocation and why we specifically commemorate him today. I do not want to dismiss or downplay Nicholas's legendary gift-giving in any way. That certainly belongs to our tradition and is an important feature of our celebration of Advent and Christmas. It is as a pastor, however, that Saint Nicholas displays for us characteristics that can or may be emulated by any Christian, but especially by pastors or those training to be pastors. Born in the 3rd century, Nicholas suffered during the Diocletian persecutions at the beginning of the 4th century. At the time, he was Bishop of Myra, a town in modern-day Turkey, and he was exiled and imprisoned because of his faith. Nicholas held to the Orthodox Catholic faith, which had become illegal during the reign of Diocletian as Roman emperor. Because this put him on the wrong side of the law, he was imprisoned. As a prisoner, he did not have any power. He was impotent. He was in the same condition as the Israelites who were in captivity in Babylon, the people to whom Isaiah was writing. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. It is certainly an unusual way to address anyone, but in Isaiah's case, the name fit. The Israelites were quite powerless to do anything on their own. They were in captivity in a foreign land with no government of their own to fight against the empire. They were as impotent as a worm. Yet God comforted them. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah underscored the situation of the Israelites in the middle of our reading by calling them poor and needy. They were not able to supply their own needs. But again, God comforts them with his, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. In both cases here, God uses his covenant name, Yahweh, to remind the people that he, their God, had brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, a place where they were equally as impotent as they were in Babylon. Yet God was with them, and his power was more than sufficient to overcome their powerlessness. These verses in Isaiah convey the monergistic action of God, God working alone to achieve his goals. In these verses, the pronoun I resounds. I, God, will do it. For example, I will make the wilderness a pool of water. What the powerless worm could not accomplish, God could accomplish. But you don't have to be imprisoned or in exile to be powerless. As powerless as a worm describes your situation even here and now, you have no power to effect your own salvation. Your sinful nature, something with which you were born, indeed, with which you were conceived renders you powerless to do anything positive of a spiritual nature. The Holy One of Israel, therefore, stepped in to help you in your powerlessness. The Holy One of Israel, the Son of God, became a worm, as it were, defenseless as a little newborn infant, powerless in the face of death. He died on the cross of Calvary, bearing the penalty of your sin in death. That penalty of sin would have crushed you like a worm. But Jesus Christ bore that penalty of death and showed that he was more powerful than death by rising from the dead. Since Jesus Christ died and rose again to provide the spiritual power you and Israel lack, we are not surprised to hear Isaiah speak to Israel, "You shall thresh the mountains and crush them, and you shall make the hills like chaff." But even this is no native power and ability on the part of the worms. This also is only because of the work of God. "Behold, I make of you a threshing sledge, new, sharp, and having teeth. Therefore you shall thresh the mountains." Worms with teeth. All right, I'm mixing my metaphors here. We have worms and sledges with teeth, but both these images are already metaphors, so I am putting them together into one. God takes what is powerless and insignificant on its own and gives it teeth to achieve God's purposes. God brought Israel out of exile in Babylon back to the promised land. It was God's blessing that they crushed their enemies like mountains, escaping from the most powerful nation in existence at the time. God restored his people to the promised land. Now, where did we leave Nicholas? Ah, yes, in exile. I mean, in prison. By God's grace, Nicholas left the prison not because he was so powerful, but because God was powerful and brought a new emperor into power a few years after Nicholas's imprisonment, the Emperor Constantine. Saint Nicholas was released from prison when Constantine became emperor. We must not jump to conclusions here. It does not follow from Israel's experience and St. Nicholas's experience that any Christian in exile or in prison will be freed. Indeed, in many parts of the world today, Christians are imprisoned simply for believing, as Nicholas did, in Jesus Christ, and for some, at least, death is likely. But whenever we are in a situation where we feel powerless, we have God's definite, "I am the one who helps you," to sustain us. The Holy One of Israel and our Redeemer will be and is with us. We confidently trust in him, knowing that the future belongs to God and never to any pagan ruler. God's purpose in freeing Nicholas from prison was to make him a worm with teeth. In 325, Nicholas attended the Council of Nicaea. He was one of the bishops who adamantly opposed the heresy of Arius. According to legend, Nicholas was so angry with Arius, who denied the two natures of Christ, that he slapped him in the face. Whether or not he did that, it is a certainty that he signed the Nicene Creed, which amounts to the same thing. Nicholas of Myra, pastor, presents an admirable role model for pastors and any Christian of today. He fearlessly stood up for his Christian faith, being imprisoned for it. He probably felt like a worm, unable to do anything in prison except wait for the Lord's timing. For Nicholas, the Lord's timing allowed him to return to his vocation as bishop and shepherd of God's flock. After being freed from prison, Nicholas continued to stand on the right side of history by defending historic Christian teachings against heretics. While pagan rulers come and go, heretics are always with us. Well, heretics come and go too, but their teachings are always with us. Pastors will always need to withstand and oppose both the teachings and the heretics. As Saint Nicholas stood up to heretics, or as you or I stand up to them, we will be able to crush them like mountains and hills. Although God uses us as his instruments, he is the one who ultimately gives us the power. I make of you a threshing sledge, new, sharp, and having teeth. May God make all of you, just as he made Saint Nicholas, worms with teeth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.